We're not going through the motions. It's life and death that we touch you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit is not optional. This is a great revelation to some people. Although there are so many churches, particularly in our nation, there are many, many who do not acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Not as a person, not as someone that they need, not as a force operating in the church. Kind of like as Fuchsia Pickett liked to tell the story of the little boy who had watched them at cemeteries. And he thought that they were saying, when at the end, when they would say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, he thought that they were saying in the name of the Father and the Son and in the Holy Ghost. I wonder how many situations there are where people have any higher revelation than that. Someone wrote a book about the Holy Spirit and named it Forgotten God. You know, the Holy Ghost is God, I want you to know. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is no diminishing. It is not who's over who and all of that kind of thing. It is the Trinity, and the Holy Ghost is God. And he has a purpose. God has sent him here according to his will. And I believe in these Sundays in the month of June, if you will set yourself, I believe that God's going to give you revelation about the Holy Spirit that you have not had before. And the Lord has spoken to my heart that we're to dig in and to break every shackle and every bondage and trace out every bit of darkness concerning it and take the lid off and let the Holy Spirit be free. You know, shortly before Easter, we began the wonderful story of following with Jesus from the time before his crucifixion. I ministered out of passages there. Then with the crucifixion, the resurrection. And then he ascended to heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is seated now. But Acts 1:4 tells us, as we know, Jesus spent 40 days here on this earth and gave the disciples a crash course on the kingdom of God, which totally turned them around. And then in Acts 1:4, before he ascended up, he gave them the word that would show them how to have the power to do what he had called them to do. You can't do without this word. You can't do without this power. But many people try to. That's why people burn out. They try to do the work of God in their own strength. Or if that doesn't work, then they try to pretend that it's a work of God and come up with fleshly manifestations that makes them feel better, as if they have something. The real fact is, the Holy Ghost just wants to do it all. In Acts 1:4, after being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Everybody say wait. For the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And in verse 8 he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And the scripture says that Jesus commanded them not to go until they received the Holy Spirit, because it was the only way that they could have the power to be his witnesses in the earth. He never intended, nor did he call them to be witnesses out of the power of their intellect, or out of the power of their own personal drive, and give me another motivational speaker and let me see if I can make it through. That is not God's way. But we love the intellect, and we would much rather work in the intellect, because you don't have to submit, and you don't have to grow, and you don't have to become holy. To work in the intellect, you can just be plain old you and read more books. And I want to tell you today why we need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there would not have been a virgin birth. And you wouldn't have a Savior. Because a man wouldn't have come to die for your sin who was the incarnate God. Number one reason. Number two, without the Holy Spirit, there would not have been a crucifixion. For the Scripture says that He gave up His life, went to the cross and gave up His life through the Holy Spirit. He could not have been crucified without doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And number three, there would not have been a resurrection. The Scripture says that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. Sometimes when you think the job of your health is too hard for Him, remember He quickens dead things. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, please don't be shocked and surprised, church, when you talk to people about the work of the Spirit, or when they know that in your church that we might clap our hands and shout and do some of these things. Quit being surprised about that. Okay, everybody say, I'm not going to be surprised anymore. They should be surprised. You're waking them up. They never heard of the Holy Ghost. They don't know what the Spirit of God is doing. And I warn you, don't be ashamed or embarrassed. Now, you could be embarrassed about the flesh. I am too. I'm talking about don't be embarrassed about the work of the Holy Ghost. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, let me say this to you. These people don't know about it because they can't know about it. That's what that Scripture just says. Carnally minded people can't know about the Holy Ghost. As John's mother, she was so dear, and she was in the Methodist church. And she found it hard to believe that God was actually going to do a work like this and bless a work like this. And she said a number of times and finally quit saying it. Well, if it's God, then everything will work out. Well, guess what? It's God. It was God. And it is God. The church was birthed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So everything that Jesus planned that should happen to the church was to be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that it's a fact that there are many churches, if the Holy Spirit were suddenly taken from this earth, nothing would change in those churches. But if it were taken from this earth suddenly, this church service would change drastically. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, doctor, would you believe, Gabrielle, that your last name came to me before your first name? I can't believe that. I thought, well, I won't say that. They won't know who I'm talking about. I gave Dr. Gabriella, it gave her the power and the desire and the anointing to share a living word with you that would bring life to you. Think, you know, just take that, multiply that several times in the negative and see how dead a church service we would have. Think how the music would be. We'd have Dear Mr. Eddie singing his very best and us going to one more song service. We don't want song services. We want to worship God in spirit and truth. If the Holy Spirit was taken from this church, it wouldn't be worth coming to, and I wouldn't come to it. I'd go to some other church where He was still there. We can't believe without the Holy Spirit. We cannot believe without the Holy Spirit. Who convicts us, or He convinces us of truth. He also convinces us of sin. We cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit. Well, I'll tell you what, you can accept Him if you want to, and I agree, of course, that that's all a part of it. Acceptance is a part of it. But you can accept Him, and you can write out a card, and you can walk down however many aisles you want. But if the Holy Ghost doesn't regenerate you, in His power, you will never be born again.
That's right.
And we like to get rid of that aspect too, because there's a mystery in it. If you just fill out a card and go through some classes, we got that right here in the old noodle. This is where we got everything else. But I'm telling you, if you expect to be born again, it's got to be by the Holy Ghost. And you have to pray souls into the kingdom of God. He regenerates us so that we become new creatures. You can't know the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit. You can't understand the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Word of God clearly says these things are spiritually discerned. You cannot know them except by the Holy Spirit. You can't have a relationship with Jesus without the Holy Spirit. And there's some people that never even heard that you could have a relationship with Him. But that is made possible through the Holy Spirit. So it is very common, especially in our nation, but around the world, to reject the power of the Holy Spirit. Reject the power of the Holy Spirit. Many reject the power of the Holy Spirit, and in their churches they work through the power of religion. Religion has always tried to define God without supernatural power. They're trying to make Him acceptable. Try to make God as huge as God is, as powerful as God is, and as much in charge as God is, who is the God who will do what He wants to do to make that acceptable in society. You are whistling Dixie. You cannot make a holy God acceptable to unholy people. You have to preach the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit, and He will convict them, and they can believe and thank God for the truth. So there's a lot of people in churches today who have the idea that they're saved, and they're not. And we need to let this be known, that without the Holy Spirit, people are not saved. Can't be. And so the religion's approach is to dumb down the spiritual reality of God and His work to make it comfortable and acceptable to the flesh. In the charismatic movement, there used to be a little statement that was made. And I always wondered, even when I didn't know anything, I wondered where they got that. And they would say, "Now the Holy Spirit is a gentleman." And I think, who told you that? Where did you get that? And they did that to keep people from being afraid, but sometimes you need to be afraid. And sometimes in order to face reality, you'll come into things that are not comfortable or easy for your flesh. And I just want to go on record as saying, I don't think He's a gentleman. I think He's God. And God's a gentleman if He wants to be. You know, it's like the 900-pound gorilla. Where does he sit? Anywhere he wants to. We got to catch on it. God is not going to be bound to our descriptions, our anticipations, our preferences, our desires, and the way we preach Him down. He's not going to stay down there. One day there's going to rise up a group of people, and there's going to come a mighty Holy Ghost revival, and people are going to say, oh, so this is what God is really like. So this approach, this religious approach, looks like this. 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now this is a very powerful and instructive verse. What would a form of godliness look like? It's going through the motions without the power there. It's a form. It's just a form. It's not the reality of the Holy Spirit. But not only is it just a form without the power, they also deny the power. That's what this verse is. They deny the Holy Spirit the privilege of being who He is in their services, in their prayer meetings, because you have to do it like this and like this and like this. Now, I believe in teaching how the Holy Spirit will do it, but I don't believe in teaching instead of letting the Holy Spirit move. There's a lot of difference there. They deny the power thereof, and the Scripture says, from such turn away. I sort of studied that a little bit. What does it mean? It doesn't mean to walk off in a huff. I'm not going there anymore, and I'm not, you know. It actually means just don't have anything to do with it. Just go on and do what's right. Just go on and do what's real. Let them do what they want to do until the light comes on. But put yourself in the place where you will truly touch God. And we need the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill the Great Commission. I think all churches, maybe not Unitarian, I don't know exactly what they teach, but I think that most churches surely do believe in the Great Commission, which means go you into all the world and teach these things that I've taught you. And he says, and he goes on in Mark and other places, and we know that to fulfill the Great Commission, we've got to preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out devils. How many of you know you can't cast out the devils without the power of the Holy Ghost? You'll get Sceva-ized.
Yes, you
will. Sons of Sceva thought they could, they just said, you demons come out in the name of Paul. And they said, in the name of Jesus. And they said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? What you don't want to have is a little interval in your deliverance ministry where the demons demand your credentials.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
And so since some of these unusual things could happen, what do churches do? They just leave the devils in there. If it's going to be a problem, then let's just leave them alone.
Yeah.
And so what happens? People stay in bondage. So what happens? The Great Commission is not fulfilled. God wants us to set the captives free. And how much bondage is there? I was just thinking about this. There's such a desire to make the Holy Spirit more gentle, more palatable, more predictable. But I want to ask you this question. Let's see how gentle you can make him, or how unresponsive you can make him and still just barely have him. How would you like to have that much of him when you're dying? When you're in an accident and your car is about to roll over the cliff, do you want a little weak Holy Ghost? Or would you like to have one that would get the angels to work for you? You don't need a weak Holy Ghost. You need all the Holy Ghost is. And it's a travesty to rob the Holy Ghost of his power, either through preaching or through disallowing him to be the Holy Spirit. So we can't fulfill the Great Commission without the Holy Spirit. Number one, to preach the gospel, there has to be an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Else the word won't live and it won't work conviction in the hearts of the hearers. Secondly, to heal the sick, there have to be gifts of healing and leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, to have the gifts of the Spirit and to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, you have to have the Holy Spirit. I know that sounds like it. Doesn't anybody know that? Well, I think some people don't know that, because they want to do all these things of the Spirit without the Spirit. It's the most amazing thing. You have to have the Holy Spirit in order to do these things. Justin told me about this whole denomination and asked him to come and speak on worship. And I said, my goodness, they don't worship in spirit and truth, I believe it was. I said, well, they don't even, not even baptize, they don't even believe in being baptized in the Holy Spirit. He laughed and he said, well, dear, you know they always did do things the hard way. It is hard to worship in spirit and truth without the Spirit. The real bottom line is we want to run everything. We want to run the church service. We want to run what God can and cannot do. So we lay it out. You can do this, you can't do that, so forth and so on. Thirdly, to heal the sick, right? Thirdly, to cast out devils. You can't cast out devils through counseling. You can help adjust people's thinking and their approach to life. You can do some good things, but devils are not afraid of counseling. And positive thinking won't make them go either. Jesus said he cast out devils by the finger of God. That means the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, it was God's will from the beginning. This was God's will from the beginning. In giving the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, God restored us back to the original plan that Adam had of constant communion with him. This was God's plan for man in the beginning, and we go all the way over to Acts chapter 2 before that relationship is fully restored the way God intended. You know, we say, isn't it just wonderful that Jesus, that Adam was able to walk with God and commune with him? Every day they communed and they talked together and all of this kind of thing. But God wants you to live that way too. He wants you to be led, you see, because God made Adam out of clay, but he breathed that spirit into him. And it was that spirit in Adam that was communing with God. God's intention was for man to live from the inside out from the day he created him. Not by see and feel and just response to the world. Sometime you might just want to do a self-check. How much am I influenced by the world? How much of what I see and feel in the media and this and that, how much do those things suggest to me what I'm going to do next? Or how I should think? You know, it doesn't matter. We're so concerned about the world's expectation of us, but what about God's expectation of us? He has a plan for you the very next thing to do. You know, Adam was constantly communing with God, and it's God's will to be continually in communion with your spirit, because God himself is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's why, listen carefully, you can't have a worship service without the Holy Spirit. And worship is not about how we feel about music.
No, it is not.
It's not about what makes us feel good in church. Worship is about connecting in the Spirit with God, who is Spirit. We had a chance today. I was just thinking while we were worshiping, Pastor Eddie, I was just thinking, we got a chance here to connect with God. Hey, we got an opportunity here to sing our love song to Jesus. It's not just about who can do the latest ring or whatever sound is going on. So Verna Tompkins, she's 85 years old. She's in Cornwall's sister, and she was saying about their church that she's in. It's a large church. I've been there, and they use this smoke and whatever it is in their worship service, like in a rock concert. I mean, some churches do, you know. And she said, you all do what you want to, but I don't like this smoke. What do you expect? I'm 85. She said that in her message. Well, here's the thing. God really doesn't need any help to make a great atmosphere. He just needs our response. Our response is what's really powerful. Now, the scripture says that the Holy Spirit lived in Jesus without measure, fully. And God, the less mixture we have, the more power of the Holy Spirit we can have in our lives. The Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit is not an add-on dimension of spirituality. Some people think that. He's saved and also baptized in the Holy Spirit. And maybe one day I would. I mean, you know, someone told me once that someone had gone to this church and I said, but they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, do they? And the person said, well, the pastor's open. I said, well, all he has to do is come and I'll pray for him and he'll receive it. I'm just being honest with them. We have a lot of excuses for not entering into all of what God has for us. He's not an add-on dimension to your otherwise terrific Christian life. He is your Christian life.
Yes, amen.
He's the power of it. He's the understanding of it. He's the relationship of it. You can't have it without Him. And the Holy Spirit is a person, like the Father is and Jesus is, who comes into your very being to live inside of you. And as you come into relationship with Him, He brings you into unlimited relationship with the Father and Son. I'm telling you today, you can have unlimited relationship with the Father and the Son the more you will allow the Holy Spirit to do what He was sent here to do. Now, I want to take a minute and tell you what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. We can trust Him.
Yes.
Starting in John chapter 7, He started talking to them very openly and clearly about the Holy Spirit. And in John 7, there was this great feast, and He stood up on a high place. And the Scripture says that He called out, "Everybody who's thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Parenthetically, it says in that place, "For He was speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit who would come, for He was not yet poured out." Something to that effect. Makes it as clear as it can possibly be. Jesus starts talking about it. And if you will remember, John 14 and John 16 are the two chapters that tell you all about the Holy Spirit. So dig in there and really start studying those in this month that we're in. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real to us. He keeps us in unbroken relationship with Jesus by convicting us of sin and causing the Word of God to come alive to us. We can't know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. We can't follow Him without being led by the Spirit. There's a lot of people follow Jesus, sort of. I mean, at least they're not going away from Him too much. But they're not necessarily going where He's going, doing what He's doing, listening to what He wants to have happen next. They are really, maybe they are believers in Jesus and followers of themselves.
Yes.
I always think of that, followers on Facebook. That could be about as far as some people get in their following. Nowhere in the Old Testament did the Holy Spirit come into anyone's body. This is a marvelous thing that has happened. I don't know really how I feel about it. When people start acting weird and squeamish about the Holy Spirit, I thought, don't you even know how to receive something that's so absolutely wonderful? Are you going to turn away from the very thing that will make your life worth living? Some people are picky about spiritual things. You know, there's picky eaters. Now, I won't just eat anything. I'm not going to swallow a live baby octopus just to prove I can do it. That's an initiation rite in Asia. And young men die from it. The octopi get their tentacles stuck in there. People do an awful lot to try to prove themselves, don't they? Or don't we sometimes? The Holy Spirit never came into people until the day of Pentecost. And with the disciples, He was working with them. Jesus said, He says, "He has been with you." Jesus said this, "But He will be in you." He came upon people from time to time and did mighty things, but He was not their comforter that Jesus sent back to earth. John 14, 16, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, and He will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you." The Holy Spirit is with them, but after Pentecost, He would be in them. Jesus is revealing to the disciples that the way has been made for them to come back into that direct relationship with the Father that Adam had in the beginning. And Jesus did on the cross the work for you and me that would make our bodies whole, including our psyches. Yes. Why? Because they're the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." How many of you believe your body belongs to God, really? It belongs to God. Therefore, you really, this is really true. We don't just make our own decisions and just do anything we want to do with these bodies. But we should be doing what will cause our bodies to bring glory to God. And that concerns a lot of things that I won't distract you by mentioning specifically today. But God wants to have a fit temple for the Holy Spirit to live in is number one. That's the number one reason to keep your body the way it should be. And the Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. That's why he works to convict us of sin and to cleanse us with his Spirit. Did you know the scripture says he's the Spirit of holiness? He's the Spirit of holiness. Some people think that's a denomination. I think I told you the other day that I told someone that Olin Griffin, that will be speaking for us, has an apostolic calling, and they thought it was the denomination that didn't want them to come to the church because they were wearing makeup. I said, "No. Do you have a minute? I'll explain to you what apostolic means." And they listened. They said, "Oh, well, that helps." So, God has called us to give him our bodies to be temples of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of holiness is that Spirit that won't let us buy with things that lead to unholiness and uncleanness. You know, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And you can quench him by not doing the things. Now, some people want to connect this so much with standing up saying something, they're doing something. Now, you can quench him just by saying no, 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 no to him. And after a while, he will get quieter and quieter. That doesn't mean he's a gentleman. That means you have hurt him. He has a personality. And the Holy Spirit in you has an expectation that you will do the things he's leading you to do. You know, I felt the Spirit spoke this to me, and I thought, that is an amazing thing when you put it like that. Just spoke this so clearly. Have you ever heard, now don't raise your hand, you don't want it up on this one, but have you ever heard or have you ever said, "Well, I'm just stubborn. I know I'm stubborn. He's stubborn. They're stubborn." Like it's a personality trait. Like a personality trait like talks a lot, or, you know, personality trait like is a little bit lazy. But stubborn is not a personality trait. It's a decision forging iniquity. And here's what the Lord just spoke to me. The Holy Spirit, I felt, said to me, when a person walks in stubbornness, it's because they're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Because the scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's the Greek word there that means a mature son of God. Some people are very immature, and they just let God lead them every now and then. But other people really believe that. Now, I'm not talking, I do think that there's another side of this that God may not be interested in. I mean, if he's this interested in your life, that's great. But I'm not sure that he really cares, you know, what kind of forks and knives you use and on your table and every little item like that. But I want you to know he cares about what your heart is like. and what your walk is like, and if you do and go or not, the places that he says he really does care about that. If we're walking in disobedience, we're not being led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, of course, is leading us to obey, but we're saying no and we're disobeying. Well, that's very simple. You just repent of that and say, Holy Spirit, I want you to lead me now. The thing about choices, I think we are really big. You can relax because I'm almost through and the plane has almost landed, so this can't hurt too much more. But I felt the Lord just really wanted me to talk to you just a minute about our choices and the Holy Ghost in us. What does the Holy Ghost want to do? You know, in the scripture, Paul and others would say, and the Spirit led me. I was going to do this, but the Spirit bade me. And the Holy Spirit was working and saying, do this and do that. Now, there's a habit, it's very common in churches, to want to do things and say that God is leading you to. Now, just be real. It doesn't mean you won't want to do it, but you need to ask the Holy Spirit about that thing you're wanting to do. Is this you or is this me? You know, like I said, you know, people find it hard to believe that the Lord calls me so often to Florida in the wintertime. Well, to be perfectly honest with you, they gave me a choice of coming anytime I want to. And I said, Lord, is it okay for me to go and get out of the snow and be just the same to them? And I felt like he said that was all right. Now, I'm just joking with you a little bit here. But God's not always wanting you to do something that's hard. He just wants you to do what he wants you to do. So, and the important thing is, am I open really to God's plan and God's will and what God has? Do you sometimes find yourself saying, I'm not going to do that. I'll never do that again. And it's just because you're ticked off about something. Yes. And you're just a little bit mad about it. And until that goes away, you're just not going to do that. Wouldn't it be great if we'd start saying, I'm not going to do that unless the Spirit leads me otherwise. Now, that'd wash that right there. I'm wondering how much more powerful we could be if we really were determined that everything we do in our lives should be led by the Spirit. I'm having a little chat with some of our younger people the other night about where you go to college. And I was just telling some different stories about college and all. But, you know, I think the most important thing is pray about it, young people. I said to this young person, I don't know how people choose schools. I said, sometimes I think it's a fad. You know, their friend liked it or they heard this or that about it. But no matter what the world's doing, no matter what our friends are doing, we've got to be led by the Spirit of God. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, you'll do it right the first time. Some people like to say, well, you know, I had a lot of problems, but I finally got here. I just wondered, did they possibly pray about it before they went through all those other experiences? Because God doesn't want you to have a bunch of goofy experiences that beat you half to death before you finally get there. The scripture says he will lead you with his eye. I had a parent that could do that, you know, just give you, look at you a certain way, and you knew, do this and don't do that. And I think this is one thing we need to pray about, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I believe, I'm going to go on record and say, that what I've said about this little particular area today, some of you probably haven't even really thought about. Because no one has emphasized to you the importance. You can't just go around making your own decisions if you're a follower of Jesus. You have to let the Holy Spirit tell you when and where and what to do next. So, he wants to live inside of us as a person. He wants us to consult with him. He wants to lead us. He wants to empower us. You know, Before I preach, I always spend some time asking the Holy Spirit for His fresh anointing. And I remember one of my professors saying in school, and I appreciate it very much, that he said, preaching has mystery. There's a mystery about preaching. You don't always know just exactly what you're going to say, even if you have notes. You can't, of course you can't know ahead of time what the Holy Spirit is going to say to you in a given moment. And you have to be willing for the Holy Spirit to turn you to the right or to the left. And this is the thing that I have recognized, is that when I pray about a message, I ask that the Holy Spirit will lead me. Now, it's very popular these days to have sermons, a series of sermons. And I was reading the other day, said you should have a year, you should make up your sermons a year in advance. And just said like there's not a Holy Spirit, you know. Pastors, you should make up your sermon list a year in advance. Well, it's okay. It's okay to think I might preach something at Thanksgiving or on Mother's Day or whatever. But I'm saying that preaching is supposed to be what is living through the preacher at that time by the power of the Holy Ghost. As he interprets it and empowers it, then it becomes life. And so I pray something like this: Lord, please give me a way to say this, that you get what you want out of it. And let it be that when I preach things and people think, well, I know about this area, I pray, Lord, that your word you say will divide between soul and spirit. So will you let that miracle happen today? I'm believing that somebody today after hearing this message is going to say, you know what? I've been living my own life. And it's time I started praying about what I should do next. Like, you have a schedule made out. Some people would kill for their schedules. They'll be rude for them. No, I have plans. Can't do that. I have plans, you know. Well, you know, I really, the Lord has let me do a few things through the years. And a fair amount of that I've done by turning my plans and schedules upside down and doing something else. God's not married to your plans. Or to time. Here's another one. One reason that we get to have church here is because we don't worship time. We give it the honor that it's needed. We don't want to be ridiculous and inconvenience people and be sloppy. But at the same time, we know that there's not any time with God, and He'll let us know about the time in the culture that we live in. He's good. Isn't it wonderful? He actually comes to church when we tell Him what time to come. I've always thought that was amazing. It's really just an amazing thing. So I'm believing God today that we're going to, above everything else, we're going to have a fresh new awareness of the Holy Spirit. And that we're going to be aware that we really cannot do anything without Him. So I want to ask you in this month, in the month of May, if you will please read, you know, John 14 and John 16 particularly, and see, you begin to see what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. Now I'm going to talk to you some more about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk to you about discernment. How many of you wished you'd had some discernment before you stepped into that last mess? I'm talking about, you know, the reality. The Holy Spirit is our friend. He's the best friend you'll ever have. And He's always there. And He keeps on revealing Jesus, revealing the Word, and making the Word live. And He tells you things that you need to know in advance of the time. He will do that. Start expecting the Holy Spirit to speak things to you. And He will speak. But give Him room. Don't always have your ear plugged into something else that's speaking. You see, because if you're always listening to music or even preachers, there needs to be some time that we just sit before Him and say, speak. He can speak wonderfully out of His Word. So, the Holy Spirit is what I read just this morning. that one-fourth of the believers in the world are Pentecostal charismatic believers. 25% of the believers in the world. It used to be that Pentecostal people, even before the charismatic outpouring, Pentecostal people and even charismatics were a sort of a marginal element. And they called the denominations the mainstream churches. Remember that term? Yeah. Did you know that Pentecostal charismatic is the mainstream now? There's more of us than there are of them. And you can't make something the side stream that's the big stream. You got that? So I just want to say this to you. Things have really changed. 44% of the sub-Saharan African continent is charismatic full gospel. 44%. In Brazil, it's totally mind-blowing. In South America, all over Latin America, the huge numbers of people. But for one thing is, they're not afraid. They're not afraid to let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost. So I want you to stand together. I want us to pray about what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us and the fresh surrender that we want to make for Him. Holy Spirit, we want to thank You so much today for letting Your Word live to us, giving us a clarity. Thank You. Make it clear, Lord. Thank You, Father, that You loved us so much, that You sent the Holy Spirit to be in us so that we could communicate with You like Adam did. That we're among those people that can have that constant communion with You. How we love You for what You've done. We just glorify and magnify the Holy Spirit for the wonder that He is and how He glorifies Jesus and reveals Him. Lord, I praise Your name today that when You get ready to move afresh, You start giving a burden to preach the Holy Spirit. And I believe that there's a fresh movement very strongly on the way, a fresh revival that's going to come to Your people. And we want to be among those who understand how to hear the Holy Spirit, how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, and how we cannot do anything without You. I wonder if you just want to just lift your hands. I'm going to pray for a fresh anointing of His Holy Spirit in your life. You're just simply saying, Lord, I'm coming before You today, and I'm asking You now that You will enrich me. Lord, I just pray for these this morning that because they're opening their hearts to You, that they will have fresh experiences with You in the power of Your wonderful Holy Spirit. That You will speak very clearly, that You'll cause the Word to live for them as never before. Holy Spirit, I pray that Your gifts, which You say that You give according to Your will, we ask You for the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes,
I pray, Lord, that You will multiply gifts of the Spirit and entrust us, Lord. We promise by Your great grace to pastor these gifts that they will flow to the praise of Your glory. We're just standing right in Your presence and saying, we want these gifts. And Lord, we just praise You that we have the liberty in this church, that we can flow in the Spirit, that You can move among us. And we receive today, Lord, we receive that fresh anointing, and we say, Lord, we want to be led by You. I wonder if you just say those words, I want to be led by You, Holy Spirit.
I want to be led by You.
And I pray, Lord, that You would make us aware of all the times that we just go our own way or by the intellect or what somebody suggests. Lord, we just declare we have been bought with a price and our bodies are not our own. So I pray You completely clean up and heal and fix our bodies so they'll be fit temples for the Holy Spirit to rest and dwell in. Lord, we give You the praise and the honor and all the glory for Your great faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Eddie, would you lead us in worship, please?